You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Our Friday financial update, the final Friday financial update for 2025. Brian Cochran joins us. A very Merry Christmas to you, Brian. Hope you're looking forward to celebration with family and big plans for the new year.
Yeah, it's going to be a time of rest as much as celebration, which is a welcome change for our pace of life. I know that.
Well, we've spent a lot of time, I hesitate actually to say a lot, but we spent some time and on the topic of giving as we head towards the end of the year. Most of us are probably receiving in our email from organizations their end of year petition for giving to their organization. And Brian, where else should we head and think on this, before we maybe do our giving and get to the end of the year?
Yeah, what came up recently, actually came up twice in the same week since you and I last talked, Steve, is we had a client and then one of the children of one of my coworkers both asked the same question that I thought was interesting. And it was the question of, as I'm looking at my giving and I reflect on the year, should I be trying to tithe on my gross or my net income? Mm. And some of you just perked up a little bit like, hey, I've wondered the same thing. And I'm going to tell you, I'm sort of not going to answer that question. There's probably a really good theological answer to that. I've heard gross. And I think that's commonly discussed. But what I like to go back to on all things giving is a verse in 2 Corinthians that many of you know and have heard. And starting in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And the reason I point that out, Steve, is sort of the answer to that is give however much you can give cheerfully. Getting caught up in the nuances and the technicalities of gross versus net and did I get it down to the penny or to the dollar? And, I think that kind of misses the point where God really cares much more about our heart posture. As I've heard it said before, I love that term. Where is our heart in our giving more than the exact dollar amount?
Yeah, Brian, and I'm going to try to articulate it in another way, and you can tell me if I miss the mark. But, as you're talking about that, I think, to give in a way that once it's done and received and processed, that you can celebrate in it and you can earnestly say to the person who you've given it to, it is my privilege and honor to do this. I'm so glad it's a blessing to you, rather than, yeah, it was a sacrifice. You better appreciate it.
Exactly. And your privilege, honor, and joy, right? That, yeah. I actually experienced joy in this gift. And we had another client in earlier this week, Steve, that said, just how much joy he's getting out of his giving these days. And he's a retiree who has enough to share, but isn't a multi-millionaire who just has more money than he knows what to do with. So he's giving what I would consider at a sacrificial level, and he's doing it cheerfully as we're called to in this verse. And I think it's really powerful. And I think, again, it's why do we give cheerfully? Because God has blessed us abundantly so that in all times, having all we need, we can abound in every good work. We're not giving cheerfully because it's law. We're not giving cheerfully because we feel compelled or pressured. We're giving cheerfully as a recognition that God has given to us, not just so that we can have faster cars, bigger houses, or nicer clothes, but also so that we can give, give in all times for all needs. And by the way, that also means some of your giving might not be tax deductible giving, because that's, some needs aren't tax deductible. If you have a neighbor in need or a friend, that's not a tax deductible gift, but maybe having all that you need, that's a way that you can give in all times, as Paul has written here.
Yeah, well, we hope that the listener has taken all of today's information to heart, and what we've talked about, in recent weeks on the topic of end of year giving, And Brian, I know this is something you walk through regularly, not only as a generous person yourself, and John Moore Associates, generous organization as well, but with clients, you know, you walk through this. And for that person who intends to give, and it's gotten to this time of year, and they're having a hard time deciding, I'm not sure exactly where I should give, I have so many places that I want to, but I'm only able to whatever. What are some thoughts you might throw out to them as we kind of get to crunch time for making a decision on year-end giving?
Yeah, that's great. And where we get this question sometimes, Steve, is people will tithe regularly to their church, but they're giving above and beyond their tithe is where they get a little more creative, a little more inspired. One of the ways I've heard this said that I feel is really compelling is, what makes you cry? You know, if you think about the challenges of the world, what breaks your heart? And that might be God, you know, prompting you to help solve that problem partially with your resources. You know, maybe volunteering, maybe providing wisdom to organizations that are solving those issues, but also giving your resources. So if it pains you to see homeless people on the streets of Albuquerque, well, there's organizations that are helping solve that problem. If it pains you to know that there's children subjected to sex trafficking, maybe that's an issue that God's putting on your heart. And that, I think, responding to issues of your heart results in more cheerful giving, right? We're supposed to give cheerfully. And as our heart's calling us to give, well, if we're only giving based on a prescription or a mandate that we give, you know, 10% tithe to our church, for example, which is not a bad thing by any means, but if that's the only giving we're doing, then maybe we're not hearing what's going on in our heart, what God's placed in our heart to solve. And I know that's in our family, that's what we've done in the past, as we talk amongst ourselves as a family of four, and we make some of our giving decisions based on, you know, what we know is an issue that is front of mind and pains our hearts.
And before we close this up, the other thing that came to mind, Brian, is for those who are, I'm not prepared to give much. Maybe I'll walk them through the widow's mite.
Yeah, God does not worry about the amounts. I always remind people that God doesn't really need your money to satisfy his will. You know, he can do what he needs to do. He can move mountains. So he doesn't need your extra $5 that would push you towards a full tithe, or, you know, he can do what he wants. He's inviting us as an opportunity to be givers. And what he cares about is our heart posture, and our percentage is more important than the dollar amount. So if you're a person of limited means and you're having a tough year with medical expenses or a lost job, God knows that. And what he cares is, are you giving cheerfully what you can? And I often think of a generous giver as someone who's giving sacrificially. Is there something that you could sacrifice that would be for yourself that would instead give you the opportunity to give to someone else? And again, maybe it's not a charitable gift to a formal 501c3 tax deductible charitable organization. Maybe you're in need and you also know that there's a neighbor of yours that's in need, and you can simply sacrifice one meal, sacrifice, you know, one leisure activity, and that gives you an extra $20 to go out and get a gift card for that friend, or to take them to lunch and just be generous with them, or whatever that might look like for you.
Yeah. And I'm glad also you mentioned in the process here, the opportunity to volunteer, your talents and time, towards, an organization or a people, that, you know, maybe, like you said, a gift that may not come with it, tax deduction. God looks at the heart, and he wants us to, be, joyful, not only throughout our life, but as we give as well. Some great insight as we put a bow on not only this conversation, Brian, but our Friday financial update for 2025. I'd be remiss if I didn't draw our audience to a free resource that we mention almost every week, the Insights tab at johnmoore.com. Brian, what will the listener find there?
I'm very excited about our latest post by Andy Ferguson from our Arizona office, really wise and very intelligent financial planner. He wrote a great post about the biblical perspective on retirement. Retirement is often presented in our culture as the endless vacation. But what does the Bible say about finishing well, retirement, and purpose? And he did a great job going into that. So if you're someone who is retired or is considering retirement soon, a lot of wisdom there. And it is based on biblical principles that that we're all striving to live by.
All right. Well, Brian, thanks again. And Merry Christmas to the Cochran crew and the staff at John Moore Associates. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Steve. We appreciate your ministry and what you're doing to spread God's word and grow his kingdom.
All right. Hey, Merry Christmas to you. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.